Good morning. I'm Janet Russell, and I'm the pastor of Christian Formation and Community Life. And it is wonderful to preach to more than my son and a camera in the front yard. He was usually great, but there was one day when they'd had a really rough night with their two-year-old the night before, and the whole time I was preaching, he's yawning. And that was a rough one. So I hope you all are well rested. Will you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, come. May the power of your living word open our hearts and minds to all that you have for us today. Amen. In 1996, my husband and I and our three kids, who were then 13, 11, and 7, we went for a year to Mexico as short-term missionaries with the Covenant. And we have changed just a little bit since then. But John and Letha Curl, who are here today, it's wonderful to have you guys here. They now are the coordinators for our European missionaries, but at that time they were down in Mexico and they were instrumental in us going. And Bellingham Covenant, they gifted us their old white 15-passenger van, which we affectionately called Moby, the great white whale. And we removed the back two seats and placed in there everything that our family would need for a year living in a foreign country. So our first destination was the Curls' home, and at that time they lived in Monterrey, Mexico, right up by the Texas border. And they gently tried to teach us how to not completely embarrass ourselves, but I'm afraid they were only partially successful in that endeavor. Things like how to greet people. In Mexico, you have a handshake and you lean forward and give that cheek kiss, which I imagine changed this year. But I remember when we came back, Gladys Johnson put her hand out for a handshake, and I immediately went in for the cheek kiss, and her eyes just opened very, very wide. After a week or so when in Monterrey, John, bless his heart, drove with us down to central Mexico, south of Mexico City, which is where we would live. And he needed to teach us how to drive in this new culture. Things like, when you come to a four-way stop, it isn't necessarily who gets there first that goes first. It's the biggest one. So in our great big van, if we hesitated, we totally messed up the whole system. We had to learn how to talk. We had to learn how to drive. We had to learn how to pay bills. We had to learn how to read social cues. We had to learn to think less Bellingham and more Mexico. We had to learn how to be and live in a new way, in a new reality with new expectations. This past year, we've all had to learn a new way of being, haven't we? We've had to learn how to work, how to do school, how do we do church? How do we read social cues when all we see is from the nose up? We've all had to learn how to live in a new way, in a new reality, with new expectations. Now, last week, Pastor Phil preached on Pentecost. When God showed up in wind and flame and unlearned languages, Peter explained to the watching crowd about Jesus' life and death on the cross, how God had raised him up to be Lord of all. Many who listened recognized their need for forgiveness, their need to live in a new way. 3,000 people put their faith in the risen Christ. That's like 10 times what could sit in this sanctuary in our non-COVID time. 3,000 new believers. One day, Caesar is king. The next day, Jesus Christ is king. One day, the temple is the place where the Spirit resides. And the next day, the Spirit of the living God was living in each one of them. One day, their allegiance is to self and family and tribe and Caesar. And the next day, their allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. 3,000 Spirit-filled new believers who needed to be nurtured and brought to maturity in faith and kingdom life, the life where Jesus Christ reigns, where he and his ways are first priority. 3,000 new believers had to learn how to be and how to live in this new way with a new reality, with new expectations. So what happened? Our text says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. These four activities permeated their lives. They were faithfully committed to learning, sharing, eating, and praying together. And when the Spirit of the living God takes up residence in us, it takes time to let go of the old habits and rhythms, the old addictions, the old attitudes. It takes time for our worldview to shift. It takes time for behaviors to change and for thought patterns and hearts to be transformed. The Spirit works in us, but we also partner with the Spirit. By participating in activities that are pathways for His grace, these activities grow our relationship to Him, and they help us to learn this new culture. They help us to become more like Christ and to learn to desire and to live out His purposes. So those early believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles taught what they had seen and heard and experienced with Jesus. They taught the meaning and the power of this life and death and resurrection, what it meant and what it meant to the living in this new reality. When the apostles started to die, the church recognized, we need to write this stuff down. So they formed what now we call the New Testament. And we now have this amazing document. This amazing document that can help us to grow in our love for Christ and our relationship with Him. And He can use it to shape us. And babies, if you see a baby, they crave their mama's milk. They'll root for it so they can grow and they can thrive. We need that nourishment of God just as much to grow us out of those patterns of this world, out of the culture that's so embedded in us, to live out not what the world and the media says we should want, but what God desires for us. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So those new believers, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, and they were devoted to the fellowship, to sharing together. In Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Belongs. The church is not a social club. We are together. We together make Christ's body the manifestation of our Lord in the world. We belong to one another. We have responsibility for one another. John Wesley wrote, "The body of Christ is incomplete without us, and we are incomplete without the body of Christ." Together, we are Christ's body, and we need each other. This year has been especially hard to feel any sense of connectedness, of togetherness. For many of us, we're just beginning to put our toes back out into that social world, learning how to have friends in the flesh again. This is a far cry from the kind of togetherness and sharing that's described in the scripture, but it can only get better from here, right? And those early believers, they were also devoted to the breaking of bread. Scholars disagree if that meant the common meal that they had together or if that meant the Lord's Supper. But back in those days, they would have that the communion, the Lord's Supper, as part of their common meal. Both were important. Both draw us near to Christ and to one another. Both are places of hospitality, of nourishment, of unity. I miss the laughter of sitting around the dining room table. I'm afraid this last year it's become my work desk. It's my office. It's not quite the same. May the Lord soon provide many opportunities for us to be able to eat and share in our life in Christ together. Lastly, they were devoted to prayer. Prayer is the lifeblood of our life in the Spirit, our ongoing conversation with our Lord. Through Christ, we have this immense privilege of being able to come into the very presence of the Holy Almighty God. We can do that with boldness. We can come as children to their daddy. We can come as friends in need of counsel, of strength, of support. When we pray together, it's a beautiful mystery. Something extraordinary happens. Christ himself shows up in our midst. He intercedes for us and with us. Many of you probably heard the story of Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie and her sister Betsy were arrested for sheltering Jews in World War II. And they were taken to Ravensbrück, a German concentration camp, where the guards were renowned for their cruelty. One guard brutally attacked and beat Betsy. And later she died in that camp. But Corrie survived, and she traveled throughout the world to share that God's light can shine deeper than any darkness. But she often told a story about a man who came up to her after one of her talks, and she immediately recognized this man as the guard that had hurt her sister so terribly. And the man told her that since the war, he had become a Christian. Excuse me. And he had come to Corrie to ask forgiveness. And he put out his hand to shake and said, "Will you forgive me?" And she just looked at that hand, and she only felt hatred and bitterness towards him for how he had made her sister and so many other people suffer. And she prayed, Lord, help me. And the Lord brought to mind a verse from Romans 5. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And she prayed, Father, forgive my hatred. And in that moment, the Lord took it all away. It was just gone. And she was able to say, Brother, give me your hand. I have forgiven you all. Beyond the amazing miracle of forgiveness, what strikes me is that Corrie's first inclination was to pray. And then God used his word that had been planted in her heart over a lifetime of faithful study and memorization. And all this just happened in an instant. But it happened because those practices were so much a part of her life. For Corrie Ten Boom, praying, it was as natural as breathing. The early believers, they devoted themselves. Devoted, dedicated, eagerly pursued. Practices that made room for Christ to meet them. To change them, to reorient their lives away from that culture in which they lived that was so drastically out of rhythm with God's heartbeat. They had to think less world and more Christ. The love and the fellowship that they were experiencing, it just spilled out every which way, in hospitality, eating together with glad and thankful hearts, in generosity, sharing their homes, their food, their time, their belongings, in compassion, giving sacrificially out of their care for one another. And they were filled with the wonder and joy at all that God was doing in them and through them and among them. And the apostles, they were doing astounding miracles, signs and wonders. God was just showing up. The kingdom was breaking in, and it was exciting and unsettling and marvelous. Phil asked us last week, are we open to the Spirit? Or if there might be some resistance there, are we open to the Spirit changing us, changing our lives? I think as Christians in the West, it is so easy to be lulled, to become complacent, to become content. We have our Christian routines, but generally, you know, we're pretty safe, comfortable. In the words of the t-shirt, life is good. Do we really want to mess that up? Do we really want to be woken up and risk change? Risk being unsettled, being uncomfortable, maybe even suffering? And then God shows up and he awakens us to something more, something bigger, something more real, more true, more life-giving. Recently, at our conference annual meeting, Grant Christensen, a pastor of a little tiny church, Grace Covenant Church in Bremerton, they, like all the other churches, when COVID started, were forced to go online. So he did his little Facebook live stream. And last year, just before Easter, a SEAL team in Iraq started joining them for their services. And one of the soldiers' parents was connected with, or was at Grace. That's how they got connected originally. But on Easter, this SEAL team, they set up a projector where they were, and 22 soldiers participated in the service. And while they were watching, an Iraqi soldier just wandered in and was watching with them. Well, within months, this Iraqi soldier named Adnan became a Christian, came to faith. And soon after this, Adnan's wife and daughter, small daughter, just 4 years old, were attacked and severely injured. And because of his wife's injuries, Miriam's injuries, she had a severe stroke. She was in a coma. She was not expected to live. But when they were taking her off life support, Adnan knelt at her side praying. And Miriam suddenly woke up. And she said, Adnan, who is this Jesus who knows you? And why did he tell me that my time to be with him was not now? That I needed to be with you? Adnan, he was beside my bed talking with me. Well, the next month, Miriam came to Christ. And their daughter, Afra, came to Christ. And Miriam's brother came to Christ. And Adnan began inviting Iraqi soldiers to watch this Grace Covenant live stream. And soon, 18 Iraqi soldiers came to Christ. And three of the original SEAL team members came to faith. And Pastor Grant said, they've lost count. How many soldiers exactly? But they think about 26 soldiers have now come to Christ. And many others have renewed their faith and their desire to follow Jesus. God hasn't stopped showing up. Are we willing to make Christ our first allegiance? Will we pray for the Spirit to move in us and among us? Will we give him the space to do the work? His deep work within us. When we went to Mexico, it was a tremendous step of faith for our family to leave all that was safe and comfortable and familiar. It was scary, and it was disorienting, and it was very, very humbling. If we had said no, we wouldn't have known what we missed. But it has changed the trajectory of our lives, all of our lives. Those early believers, devoted themselves to the word, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They gave God space, and he met them, and he changed them. They gave God space to just let God be God. And they grew in hospitality, in generosity, and compassion. And they were filled with wonder and joy at all that God was doing. And God added to their number daily those who were being saved. Will you pray with me? Living God, this has been a year of challenges. And for many of us, it has been a time to hunker down. And just, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. As creation wakes to spring and blossoms and beauty, wake us, Lord, from our lethargy, our complacency, our contentment. Wake us up to the possibilities. Open our eyes to the vastness of who you are, your purposes and your desires for us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Move in our lives. Move in us as your church. Break down our resistance to you. Renew in us a hunger, a longing to grow in you. May we make space for you to move and to work in our lives. And may many, many more be added to our number. Risen Christ, may we have one allegiance to your lordship in our lives, one priority to love and serve you, one desire for your glory. We pray in the name of the risen and raising Christ. Amen.